वन्देहं श्रीगुरुश्रीयुतापरकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सागरजातं सहगणवरगणतं निरन्तरं सजीवं सद्वैतं सद्वितं कृष्णसहितं कृष्णचेतनं श्रीराधाकृष्णपरं सहगणवृत्तश्रीयशकान्वितं तदेवस्मि तदेवस्मि न जीवामि त्वया विना This auspicious event that we've gathered for is the Arabhav Tithi Mahotsav of our deity of Govardhan, Govardhan Giriraj. Giriraj Baba Ki
Jai!
Giriraj Baba. So we have a little bit of few notes we collected about deity worship in general, and some stories to illustrate these points about deities. And we found some interesting information in the history of our world in the last couple of thousand years. And I was doing a little reading. And it was basically was saying that, as we know, in India, even present day, there's a big problem between Muslims and Hindus, so much tension about temples and deities, Ram Janmabhoomi, etc. It's still going on. And if you look at the history right before Muhammad came in the Middle East, just before the time of Muhammad, there was the Arabian people. So this Anales predates is about 2,000 years ago, not very long ago. In India, they've been worshipping deities, Archimurti, Archivigraha, for millions of years. In Satya Yuga and Treta Yuga, and Satya Yuga people worship Lakshmi, Narayan, Vishnu, etc. Archana, and puja and deity worship has been going on for thousands and millions of years in the subcontinent of India. It's not new. In Treta Yuga, Ramchandra was also worshipping deities. Very interesting story. Because when he banished, or he sent Sita after he returned to Ayodhya, she seemed to be always doing a lot of disappearing acts. She disappeared from that forest. Which forest was that? Was she Ravana kidnapped her? Panchavati? In South India somewhere, she was abducted by Ravana, and everyone knows the war came, and Ram brought his wife Sita Devi back to Ayodhya and started to run the kingdom, and some dobi was complaining and comparing his wife to Sita Devi, and Ramchandra was under, and his spies reported that to him, and he thought, there's some question about my morality, the king must be above suspicion or something. They have some phrase like that, isn't it? Caesar's wife must be above suspicion. I think that's the actual quote from Shakespeare. Caesar's wife must be above suspicion. So I guess that applies to Ram's wife also. There's some suspicion. So then she was sent to the ashram of Valmiki. Love and Kush were inside. So this being Treta Yuga, this was an age where there was lots of yagyas done, and yagyas, as you know, are performed generally among grihasthas together with their husbands and wives. And a big puja and big worship, worshipping various devatas, and of course Yajnavai Vishnu, worshipping Vishnu, Lord Vishnu, the presiding deity who accepts the offerings of the fire, Swaha. He's the ultimate benedictor. He blesses everyone with the results of their yajna. He gives the yajna phal. So in order for the king to continue doing yajnas, all the prescribed yajnas, to ensure this satisfactory running of the kingdom, that the rain would come on time and all the demigods would be pleased by the yajnas and sacrifices performed by the human beings on earth, Ramchandra was duty bound and morally bound and personally bound to perform all these yajnas to please the devas, to acquire the rainfall and all the necessary things that we run the world. So now he had a dilemma because he had no wife. His wife was banished to the ashram of Valmiki in the mountains. So what to do? So his Brahmin advisors, they said, make a murti of Sita. So he made some murtis, ashtadhatu. That's brass and silver and gold and bronze and bell metal and all these iron and all these different things mixed together. Eight different metals, ashta, right? So ashtadhatu, eight different metals. They were mixed together, made some Sita Murti, and they sat the Murti next to Ram, and he did the puja. She was installed as a deity. So he did about 20 yajnas with this Murti before you had left this world. And after each yajna, he would make a new Murti and put the old one in a closet. And after he finished 20 yajnas, he had 20 Murtis of Sita. And one day from inside the closet, he heard a... So then, my closet is talking, my walk-in closet. You think you have a walk-in closet. Imagine the walk-in closet of Ramachandra. So he opened the door and all these ladies came marching out. 20 deities of Sita came marching out of his closet. So they said, we are your wives and we would like to have a proper conjugal relationship as the proper husband and wife. As we are your lawful, we are Sita. One, Sita two, Sita three, and four. I am Sita 10. I am Sita 15.
I am Sita 19.
I am Sita 20. And Ram said, Acha, Sita 20, 19, 18, 14, 5, 7. 20 Sitas. Now listen, girls. The thing is, I've taken ek putni vrata. So I don't mind. I'm fine with the proposal. As long as you 20 can become
one.
Ek putni vrata. And they said, no. Hey, Panditji! Panditji! Ow, jelly out! Big problem. yes. Jai Shri Ram. Bully, you can't help. Deko. Acha? Yeah, the Murtis? No, but they're talking. Talking? They're Murtis. No, they're talking. Ramchandra, sit down. Relax. Take some Mahaprasad. So all this management of the kingdom, and all this, I think that war with Ravana got to you a little bit. Just relax. No, I'm telling you, look, girl, speak. You just said, you all proposed to me. Listen, Brahmins, they all came out of the class and they proposed that I should have... Hey, take some more Mahaprasad. So Ramachandra, so the Brahmin said, look, you better take some rest. We'll call somebody, we'll put the deities back, and you just rest now for some time. Okay, you need a good rest. This is being prime minister of Ayodhya is getting, you need a rest, need a break. So then the minister left, and it was the talk of the town. And he was talking murtis, and Brahmin, he's really missing Sita. Rajangavalihi!
Sita Ram! Ram! We'll kill Ravana! Now!
So now, after that Brahmin left, then the 20 Sitas started speaking again. This is Brahmins. This is the truth. Nothing but the truth. Maybe a little poetic license, okay. I'm a poet, I have a license. We can add a little bit. If you have a license, you can drive a car, right? Poetic license. So slight embellishments. Dash of pepper, a little cumin. A good dose of honey, no? Must be there. Madhurya Purushottam ki?
Jai.
Vena Madhurya Krishna ki?
Jai.
Madhurya Krishna ki?
Jai.
Praying Krishna ki?
Jai.
Praying, what do you say? Praying. Prema Madhurya Sri Krishna ki?
Jai.
Lila Madhurya Sri Krishna ki?
Jai.
Vena Madhurya Sri Krishna ki?
Jai.
Rupam Madhurya Sri Krishna ki?
Jai.
He said, listen, Rob, we mean business. We're 20, you're one. We want some action. We want. He said, "Listen, relax, girls. Just sit down." They're all kind of closing in on him. They're all getting closer. Listen, you're satisfied. We're wise. You have to take care of us. Now, let's calm down. Sit down. Listen. And just a few days from now, I will come as Bhagavan Sri Krishna, Lila Purushottam. You see? And I'll be very, very beautiful, very, very charming, dear Lalita. So witty and so funny and very relaxed, totally relaxed. Now I'm Maryada Purushottam. I'm so much bound by rules, niyam, yama, niyam, vidhi nisheda. I can only turn right or left if it's according to the shastra. I can't sit down unless it's the right time to sit down. I can't stand up I can't go out of my house unless it's the auspicious time to leave the palace. All Brahmins have to calculate before I can even step out of the palace. It has to be the right nakshatra and the right karan and the right yoga. Everything has to be exact. I can't move. I'm completely bound. This is the extent of my life. This is a fact. I'm telling you. What is a nakshatra? What is a lunar transit? What is the grahan? What is the yoga? What is the karan? All these factors. Or he can move. Yes, Ram, you can give darshan today to the citizens.
Everyone come. Ram is giving darshan at 11:14 a.m.
It's exactly 11:14. He goes out. This is a fact. I will come as Krishna. Dear Lalita Krishna, Shyam Sundar Damodar. I will be so charming and so sweet, irresistibly sweet. And I will satisfy your every woman wish. We will dance together. We will swim together. We will sport, have gel keli. We will go on a swing together. We'll splash water. We'll throw flowers. You'll steal flowers from my garden and I'll tie you up. I'll catch you. I'll punish you. We'll dance in the midnight under the full moon on the banks of the Yamuna in a place called Vrindavan. Vrindavan, Vrindavan, Vrindavan. Yet, huh? Wrong? You will dance under the moonlight? Will you carry your quiver of arrows with you? Your quiver, it's called quiver, full of arrows. And you will have your invincible bow on your other shoulder? How will you dance? You have this huge 55,000 kilo mukut on your head? How will you tilt your head? You'll crack your neck. Diamonds weigh a lot. A heavy big crown, you have to just kind of walk like this. You can't go like this and turn your head. You can't be threefold bending forward and have this crown on your head. It's just going to topple over and crack up and break up. Turbans just fit your head and you spin and jump and turban's right there with you. Unless some wind blows by Radharani's sari, then sorry about your turban. it immediately falls off along with a few other necessary items which are described in Radharas Sudaniti very nicely by Tungavidya Sakhi. No, really. This is my Abhi Lila Purushottam and Jal Kaili. We'll splash water. We'll play holy. Psh! Ho ho, holy hey! I'll have a big pitchkari and psh, I'll squirt you full of colors and throw powder on you. Huh? Me? I'm a queen. Huh? What are you doing? Acting like some street person. What is this? No, this is Krishna Leela. Sweet. Wonderful. No rules, no regulations. It's only love. In love, there are no rules. And in rules, there is no love. Lila Purushottam Bhagavan Sri Krishna ki. Ananda Kanda Bhagavan ki. So they said, all those 20 queens said, Tatastu, let it be. He was proposing that, so they said, all right, that's fine. Then they all 20 got in a line and went back in the closet. They were closet Rams, Ram Bhaktas. They went back in the closet and they came out as gopis in Vrindavan. Evo!
Evo!
Murtis are amazing. Archimurtis are amazing. So I was going to tell you a lot of interesting, boring history about the three original gods of Arabia. A lot of interesting things I came up with, I'm sure you're glad to hear about it. Yeah, Arabs had, the Arabians in Palestine and Arabia, where Jesus appeared and where Muhammad appeared, in the country of Arabia, and Jesus in Palestine, they were nearby. There were three major gods 2,000 years ago. One was named Lot, Monat, and Gora. That's interesting, G-O-R-A, Gora. So, it's those Muslims that were worshipping Gora that ended up joining ISKCON. Those Arabs that later were, you know, converted. Because what happened? They had these three major gods that they just concocted out of their mind. What is it? Lot, Monat, and Gora. I don't know how they make a mantra for that. Lot, Monat, 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 Gora, 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 Monat, Monat, Lot. Doesn't quite make it. But these were their gods. And somehow they added, every couple weeks they had another one. So after about a year, they had 360 different gods that they manufactured out of their minds. They were nowhere mentioned in the Bible, nowhere mentioned in any holy scriptures or by any of their rabbis or holy people of the time. The high pharaohs and priests of the time, 2,000 years ago. They were just concocted. And so when Muhammad came, he said, what the hell, you're worshipping at, you know, like, just make up anything. Worship your computer, worship your guitar, worship your, you know, this is like, it wasn't Vastu Puja. And then what happened, they were so crazy about these concocted deities that they accepted them as real. It's interesting, it's similar. If any damage happened to them, they would even if it was got deformed or got burned or broken or something like this, they would continue worshipping. And in Hindu scriptures, they say if the deity is damaged, then you can replace the deity and have a proper deity for worshipping. So it wasn't based on Shastras. So with a very powerful army and very powerful preaching, Muhammad, he said, this is ridiculous. This is not in the Bible. It has no basis or authority in the Bible. You people are all, it's just tradition and custom passed down over so many hundreds of years. It's basically like pagan worship, really pagan worship. So then he went on a rampage to break all these idols. And so it was a huge fight. Huge fight. Muhammad versus all the Arabs. All the Arabs against Muhammad. And so he preached, he got a bunch of young people to say, this is ridiculous, it's not based, it has no Shastric basis. It's concocted. It's not based in the Bible. So that he went on a rampage. He said, he was preaching to Muhammad. He said, God is form. He said, God is form, but this is not this form. Even in the Quran, it describes God as form. But they don't accept that he can enter the idol, that's the thing. What they call the idols, or the icons, or murtis. So he just busted up all those deities, and the good thing he did is kind of like the good thing that Buddha did. Everyone was using the Vedas to kill all animals and slaughter all kinds of animals and not, you know, just act really like irreligiously in the name of the Vedas. So the Buddha came and said, forget the Vedas, you people are misusing them. And just creating disturbance in society and all kinds of unnecessary violence. In the name of Veda, forget the Vedas, become Buddhist, become vegetarian. You lost your senses, your sensibility, become a vegetarian again. So he brought everybody back to the normal. Be a vegetarian, follow the Varnashram Dharma. And then once he corrected people's deviant mentality and deviant behavior, then there was a room for all the acharyas to come and bring people to the Vedic concept of Brahman realization, or Paramatma, or Bhagavan. And that's where we stand today. The Vedas were reinstated and properly understood. So Buddha was doing a similar thing, threw out all the wrong things and said that, and the right thing is just to worship God. He was an agent of God. And it made sense, and he had a powerful army. He was basically a really good kshatriya, a good speechwriter. He was a good fighter with a good speechwriter. And he was, you know, convincing the people. He had some role to play. As Buddha played a role, he was like a type of a... But then he went too far, because he started to look far and wide, because he wanted to conquer and get other things for his newly established nation. Because there's a king come prophet, prophet come king, you know, prophet come Kshatriya, Muhammad. So he started to look at other countries. What is this India of all these, you know, idols and icons? It's the same. So he didn't understand it. Worship of deities in India is based on the ancient Shastras, and it's actually, God has the power, He's infinite, and the infinite can enter into even marble or stone or wood. That's His prerogative, if He wants to, call down with the love of His devotees. So then that whole thing, that whole campaign, they call it the Crusades, religious Crusades. They all came here to principally to rip off India's wealth. The religious, you know, aspect, because everything is money-based when you think about it. Lust and greed are the basic religious fervor and interest in true God consciousness is usually on the back burner for everyone. Everyone's main interest is sense gratification. Kam, art. Dharm, art, kam, vas. So that means use religion or use anything to get satisfy your lust and greed. Enjoy your body and senses, whether you're Muslim or Christian or Hindu or Buddhist or whatever. So on the plea of, yes, we have to, all these pagans, we have to go, let's everybody come on. But the real thing, so he rallied up everybody's religious spirits. Look, we broke all these deities, a whole bunch of deities in the subcontinent of India, and a whole bunch of crazy people over there.
We're going to purify those guys.
Let's go. So they all marched off. But in the back of his mind, he said, well, I'm going to get a lot of wealth over there for my nation. Just like America. Why does America bomb Iraq? For religious purposes? Oil. O-I-L. Oil. So they may make it sound, oh, these terrorists, this, that. You know, what's real bottom line is. So he came here, and everyone knows that history. He sat here for 1,500 years. It didn't take 1,500 years to break a few temples. Break a few murtis. You can do that in a few months. He found out, hey, this place is happening. There's all kinds of wealth here, and all kinds of intelligent slaves. We can enslave all these people and get them to work for us. And exploit all their wealth and send it back to Arabia. So that was the main thing that was going on. And the British came to the same thing. They didn't so much tamper with religion. They saw that was counterproductive. They just came in and tried to manipulate through other ways, destroy the culture and cultural history without tampering so much with religion. Because their main thing was economics without any religious agenda so much, but mild conversion by the Christians. The British East India Trading Company colonized India. East India Trading Company came to India to trade, not to convert people to Christianity. That was okay. Then some Christians said, well, look, you're so much going over there trading all over the place. Let's. So that British were a little bit milder approach, but the basic bottom line is Mughals and British came to rip off India. The gold, the wealth, the food, the cloth, I mean the textiles, everything. That was their main activity. So because of ignorance, he couldn't appreciate, he just thought, well, in our country these deities are all made up and it's just bogus, and so there must be the same over there. So Muhammad didn't apply any discrimination, didn't think, well, okay, it looks the same, but is it the same? We have to go deep to understand reality. Like two people are sitting there, oh, he's chanting Hare Krishna, he's chanting Hare Krishna. So one person will say, you know, they're both chanting Hare Krishna. But one person, tears are coming down his eyes, and he's absorbed in a lila, and he's thinking of the Lord, and he's thinking of serving the Lord in his siddhadeya, spiritual form. The other person is thinking of lunch. What time is it? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Boy, breakfast was... I didn't get much breakfast. They ran out. You know, I got late to breakfast, and I only got one chapati and half a cup of dal. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. I'm going to be there early at lunch. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So that's his thought. Look, externally, you appear to do the same thing. So he draw the conclusion, I saw these two guys here, chanting Hare Krishna. Oh, you're worshipping all pagan deities and made up concocted things and for all material things. And then India's doing the same thing. India people are worshipping deities for the purpose of moksha, liberation, to go to God. Deity worship is part, they're worshipping God for saintly, for spiritual things with a few material blessings on the side. He misconstrued it. Because the demigods, or not demigods, it's not demigods worship, it's totally pagan worship of the pre-Muslim people of Arab Arabia. So they, but in India, everything was based on Shastra, was the experience of Rishis, and God himself came here. So, like, you see me, and you take so many photographs, and later you make a Murti, and it's a good sculptor and artist, it may look something like me. And then, so that's, God was here, here I am. Vamshidhari, Krishna Murari, Tomavina Dukahari. Right? Vamshidhari came here. They didn't understand that Krishna was here. We didn't concoct, the deities aren't mental concoction. Krishna walked here. So that Krishna was here, Ram was here, Krishna was here, Vishnu that came to this planet, people saw Bhagavan, Sakshat Darshan. And so then they took pictures with their eyes, the eyes of the artist, their amazing eyes. How does he, we say, how did he paint that? How did he sculpt that? Because he has eyes we don't have. Artists have camera eyes. They have digital eyes, digital lens eyes. He sees somebody, then he takes a piece of block of marble and makes a statue. So God, it looks pretty good. And the whole time in his mind, he's seeing that form. And he's just seeing that form. He's chipping for 7 months, 8 months in a block of marble. Now comes Krishna. Isn't that magic? Because his vision has different power. His memory, his vision, his perception. Artists see the world in a different way. Just like philosophers, they see the world in a different way. Lusty men, lusty women, they see the world. It's called Atmanam Manyate Jagat. Atmanam Manyate Jagat. Jagat, this world. Manyate, mind. Atman, self. Atma, body, mind. Jivatma. Atmanam Manyate Jagat. One thinks of the world in terms of himself. If he's a philosopher, then he sees the events and the people and the interactions in terms of philosophy, spiritual philosophy. He integrates everything to the center. He connects everything to the center. God consciousness, body consciousness, material consciousness, money-making consciousness. The businessman goes to the forest. Wow! 20,000 mahogany trees. This is an entire forest of mahogany trees. And they've come to maturity. Each one of these trees is worth 1 lakh. There's 20,000 trees. It's a natural forest. Boy, I can make a fortune here. Right? That's his outlook. Making money consciousness. So he sees the world. Now a young man who's a little romantic type. You know, unmarried, let's say. There's no question of romance after you're married, of course. But before you're married, there's some question of romance. Let's, in the general term, let's say. So this young debonair man, he walks in the forest and says, wow, what a beautiful place, a beautiful fragrance here. It's very dark in here, a little bit of sunlight filtering through the trees. It's very private, very quiet. I never noticed this forest before. I've driven down this road so many times. I'm going to keep this in mind. And a couple weeks later, he's in college, he meets some girl. Just want to go for a ride? I'll show you this really beautiful forest. She says, yeah, let's go. I mean, American style. It's not Indian style. So then he gets in the car, and I'm going to show you this mahogany forest I found. Yeah, like national forest. So he went there, and he was showing her the various trees, and identifying different trees. And you can understand what they would probably do. Like a nature walk. Right? Wrong. So the man has consciousness of enjoying this world with woman, then he'll think, see it in a different light. So the philosopher, the devotee, he'll come and say, wow, see how many kunjas. Krishna, there must be so many kunjas in here. And Krishna had his kunjabihari and kunjeshwari radha. He has such beautiful leelas here. And we could make, in the middle of this whole forest, we could make a beautiful Nibritani Kunj, very secret, private kunja. And it'd be so dark and so hidden that it would never, ever, ever be seen or found by Jatila. Jatila. And the gopis in the morning, when they hear these three syllables, when Brindadevi runs into the kunj at Nidiban, her Seva Kunj, Nidiban. And she says, Saki, 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 Suno, Suno. Ja, She just says, Ja. She's about to say, Ja Tila's coming down the road. Ja Tila's Radharani's mother-in-law. So the Krishna was here, people saw them, Adidis, and then the Shastras were there, and all kinds of pujas, and coming from millions of years. It's tradition, it's Shastric, it's supported by Shruti and Smriti and Vega, deity worship, and it's been going on for millions of years. And when people worship deities, they become liberated, they go to God. They develop love for God. They surrender, they dedicate everything, Atma Samarpan, Krishna Samarpan. Dedicate everything to God, become pure devotees of the Lord, and Muhammad and Jesus and Buddha, everyone preached mukti, everyone preached nirvana, liberation. No one preached to stay in the material world. Stay in Palestine. It's a cool place. Stay in Arabia. Stay in India. Stay in Burma or wherever, you know, Buddha land. Whatever, you know, wherever he was preaching. And Gaya, Bodh Gaya. They all preached out. We go from this world to another world. This is a springboard. This is a place to learn the lesson and get out. Samsara. So if Buddha really knew what the purpose of deity worship was, he would have cooled down quite a bit if he just went. He was too hot-headed. And that wasn't it. As I said, that was a ploy. Okay, now we're here. Now we caught all these people. He rallied up all these people because they're already jacked up because of the army. You know, they beat up all the, you kill all those Arabians over deity worship. Say, there's a bunch of these guys over there in India, Hindus. Acha? Yeah. Here they have 360 different gods. They have 3,000 different gods. Acha? All right, let's go! Attack! Attack! They jump on their elephants and camels and came running across the desert. And they were like wild people. They weren't like vegetarians. They didn't eat, you know, carrot juice and salads and fruit chaat and mango shakes. They ate flesh. No. Goats and chickens. Killed! Their blood was made of dead animals. Their blood was just made of dead animals. Violence, cruelty, ignorance, tamagun. And the Indians are,
Hari Bal Prabhu.
Namaste. Swagatam. Welcome to our country. All right! Heathens! They just chopped off 50 million people's heads. That was their introduction. My name is Muhammad! Wow, wow, wow. We didn't even have a sword to fight back with. We just picked up a giwap. The guy comes with a 6-foot sword, you pick up a gila and say, what, or a chamra, you know. The biggest thing you've got in your house is a chamra, isn't it? Eat with your fingers. You cook with some wooden spoons or something in the old days, you know. You know, some brass spoons or something. You gotta pick up your spoon, okay. Wife's gonna go out of the kitchen with a spoon and fight Muhammad. Come on, kids, grab a spoon. Let's fight for our country. There's no weapons. There was no need for weapons. India didn't have any army. It was like, what is this army thing? There's a few kshatriyas here and there. That was their business. Majority of people were just, you know, doing puja and worshiping God and peaceful, happy. The deities are bona fide, so I just want to read some nice deity stories that are very nice to explain how the deity is so personal, and this is our 20th anniversary. We were given our Giriraj deity in Seva Kunj, appropriate place, in Prabhupada's room. We were living there from 89 to 92. And our god brother, at that time, it's a long story, we told so many times, the time is late now. But we were feeling some separation from puja, because this was 1989. We went there, and I hadn't done puja since 12 years. It's one of those 12-year things again, every 12 years. Well, 12 years, 1976, I took Brahmana. I was worshiping Radha and Krishna in San Francisco, Berkeley, you know, Berkeley. 1977, so now this is 1989. And so I was chanting holy name, preaching sannyasi, this, that. But I was really, in my heart, partly, I was really feeling, I want to worship Radha and Krishna. heartily, really from my heart, you know. And this is after 14 years of, you know, brahmachari life, sannyasi life, 75 to 89, 14 years of renunciation, nirjali kadasi, all these things. So I had deep, deep feelings. I'm in Vrindavan and I'm just coming. But I said, I'm not going to buy deities, I'm not going to, I just, if Radha Krishna, I'm going every day to bathe in Jamuna, if you come to me, fine. Otherwise I'm not, if I, my love is genuine, if my love is pure, then it will attract you. You're real, I believe, you're real, you'll come to me. And you'll come to me, you'll give me Sakshat Darshan. And show me once, and then I'll worship that memory, I'll worship that Darshan for the rest of my life, like Narada. He had one Darshan, Didi Darshan one time. Narada Muni, first canto, chapter 3 or 6. And then the rest of his life he worshipped that deity. It's called Manasamurti. There's 7 deities. One is called Manasamurti, the deity in the mind. And Ashtadhatu, wood, metal, this, that, jewels. You can make from, but this Manasamurti is the topmost. So he had one Sakshat Darshan, he saw Vishnu, Narayan. Narayana, 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 Narayana. Narayana. And then from, you know, you take a picture like unforgettable. Oh, I saw that girl, she's unforgettable, or like this, whatever. He saw Narayan. And Narayan spoke to him. He saw him and he heard this beautiful voice. Narad, you're seeing me, but I will not show myself again to you in this life. At the end of life, we will live together eternally in my abode of Vaikuntha. Bye. And then he disappeared. Then Narada, oh, so much vilap and lamentation. My Lord, I saw him, I saw him, I saw him. And he's mad. So that picture. So then for the rest, but moment to moment, every single moment of his life, he was offering at the feet of that. It became a Manasamurti, Narayan's form. So I was praying that either you, if you give me Sakshat Darshan, I'll see you that one time, then I'll worship that moment. I'll worship that moment for eternity. I will worship that moment for eternity. They have love songs like this. The day I met you, I'll worship that moment till eternity. You know, they have like these kind of funny. And I'm applying this spiritually to the Atma. Bhagavan Atma, Sambandha. This happens. You may get Sakshat Darshan once in a life, or twice, or nuns. Zero. Never. Never. Life after life. Searching, yearning, crying, begging, praying, trying. However you come to me, you come to me. Someone gives me a murti, fine. But my meditation was in Vrindavan, you should give me. Vrindavan, your Sandini Shakti. And Jamuna, your Vishaka Sakhi. So one of her expansions is Jamuna. So every day I'm bathing Jamuna. So many deities, people throw on Jamuna. You know, they throw, I know that is not it. So I said, this is a likely place, maybe you'll come, I'll find, you know. And I was actively looking, but not, I can go to the store and buy one. I'm living in Vrindavan, Loivazar, and Murti shops. So I would bathe, and I wasn't like panhandling for gold or something, go through every bit of sand. I just move my feet around on my feet or put my hands out. And every so often I'd find a deity. It would be a deity of Ganesh. Jai Ganesh, Jai Ganesh, Jai Ganesh Deva. Was it? Mata Jaki Parvati Pita Mahadeva. Jai Ganesh, Jai Ganesh, Jai Ganesh Deva. Mata Jaki Parvati Pita Mahadeva. Shankar Bhagavan Ki Jai, Ganapati Bhagavan Ki Jai. So I took out Ganesh and I said, please bless me, this looks auspicious. I'm going in the right direction. I said, take back to the Jamuna. Boing. And he went back to the Jamuna. And then I found Saraswati. That's very auspicious. So then I saw Saraswati. Saraswati. I'm so happy to see you and find you in Jamuna. Please bless me. Because there is It's not a chakra, it's called a bandha. Saraswati actually resides in the tongue. Vishnu lives in the heart, Saraswati lives in the tongue. That's why they call it Vag Siddhi. Vag Siddhi, the voice, Vag. Vag Ishwari. Vag Ishwari is Saraswati's name. Vag Ishwari. Vacha, Uvacha. So she actually resides in the tongue. And the tongue and the throat, in the throat chakra. So people do Purushchan Vrata to have darshan of Saraswati. So I had darshan of Saraswati, I didn't do it in a Murti. I said, please bless me that my tongue will be engaged in Krishna's service, Vacho Vega, Manasakrona Vega. And I said, you best stay in the Jumana. Okay, bye. Boop. And Saraswati back to Jumana. And then, wasn't finding any deity. I said, okay. So one day my Guru Bhai came, and he said, Maharaj, I'm inspired. I'm inspired. I want to give you this deity of Giriraj. I said, Giriraj? Yeah, that's nice. Jai Giriraj. But I want to worship Radha and Krishna. He said, no, Giriraj is very nice. Giriraj is Krishna. He's Krishna. Prajendranandana, Shamsundari, Saksha Krishna. He's directly Krishna. What more do you want? No, I want Radha and Krishna. Raja. No, you take Giriraj. No, I don't want. You go. Oh, okay. No, you think about it. Okay, I'll think about it. You come back this afternoon. So I thought, Giriraj? Govardhan. Wasn't in my plan. I didn't have that idea that I would marry Govardhan. I didn't have an idea I'd marry this particular boy. Right? The girl says, I don't know, I married this guy anyway. My father arranged it. I had no choice. I ran out of choices. This was the last straw. I had no one. I had to go for it, although now I wish I didn't. That's Giriraj. Giriraj. So then he came back in the afternoon. He said, I bought the asan, well, the paraphernalia, so I'll show you how to worship. I said, hey, blah, 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 blah. Wait, you know. I didn't say yes. You just worship him. I said, okay. Jai Giriraj. So then, after a while, it became my Ishtadev, Giriraj. And then as time went on, now it's 20 years. On this particular day, this titi, so we began worship. And as the time went on, we found out that in our last life, we were also worshiping Govardhan. So we've been worshiping Giriraj. Like this, and we see that he's, of course, Krishna, Sakshat Krishna, and then Radha is there also in the form of a Gunjamala. This Gunjamala represents Radharani. The Radhakundvasis, the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, they say the white Gunjamala represents Radharani. Her Rupam, whereas the red and black represents her Bhav, her Mahabhav. Surrounding Krishna, that red anurag, and then the Krishna's moving the beads. So I'm going to read some stories here about deity stories, wonderful stories, how deities interact with devotees, and that they're very much alive, as much as we're alive. Krishna is fully alive in devotion, fully alive in praying. Are we alive in bhakti, devotion? Are we alive in praying? No. We are brain dead. Or heart in. Bhakti is not with us and is not manifested in our hearts. Our prema. That's our lament. That is our sadness. And we hope to change that situation someday by the mercy of the Vaishnavas and by the mercy of Bhakti Devi. Bhakti Devi is attracted by behavior, by seva. Serving saints attracts Bhakti as a Devi. Bhakti Devi. She comes and lives with us, and she manifests her full effulgence and her full splendor of beauty. Bhakti Devi's, her effulgence of Bhakti Devi is praying, that's her jyoti. Bhakti Devi is the amsha of Radharani. So Radharani agrees to live with us, it's not a small thing. She comes as her amsha, Bhakti Devi. First, Bhakti Devi moves in and joins her. Is it Bhakti Devi? I'm busy, I got my Devi. Listen, Bhakti Devi, I got my Devi. Hey, you should see her too, Bhakti Devi. Wow. I don't have space for two Devis. I got my hands full with this Devi. He's a heavy Devi. So when the heart is clean and empty, then there's space. We don't have any space in our hearts for Bhakti Devi, do we? Got a lot of other Devis in there. Devils, let's say. We have the Devis. Devils. Ills caused by the Devis, or Devi ills, devils. Play on English, right? And when she comes, then everything, then so many pastimes are there, and the deities talk, and all these things. So our mood, I guess, is we've had some minor things. Hardly I can remember. My experience after 20 years, because I'll read you some of these fantastic stories, and I think, well, why aren't you having all these fantastic stories? And I can say, well, I'm not, these are stories of siddhas and pure devotees. These are stories of premi bhaktas. And pure bhaktas, and premi bhaktas. And my story is a story of, you know, of a sadhaka struggling with this world and trying to come to the platform of prem seva. So Krishna, he's like someone may show you a picture of themselves, but not themselves. I want to meet you. Here, I'll mail you a picture. That's not what I had in mind. So we want to meet Krishna, but he's sending us a picture. Because we can't develop his association yet. We can't understand it. So I can't tell you like thousands of pastimes of my deities and my Thakurji and my Ishtadev. I just know that Krishna is fully there. That I know. And that he hears my prayers, and he's, whatever I am is by his mercy. Whatever I have has been given by him. That I'm clear. But you know, coming in my room and dancing on my head and waking me up from Mangala Arati and stuff, and coming in and coming in and massaging my back when I have a sore back. And I can't tell you all these kind of stories. Deities do things like that. And the only story that I've told so many times is worn out, but maybe I don't know what it means. So we had one of these feasts for Giriraj up on the roof of Gopal Mandir. He was sitting there like this, and there was all these offerings. In the middle, there was a bowl of sweet rice. And I made the offering. I went outside with the devotees. There were so many devotees cooked. I came back, and I couldn't find Giriraj. And he's up there, and I said, this is not a good idea. You know, you lose your beloved Thakurji, and you go a little crazy. So Giriraj, I mean, so I'm looking, and I saw, somehow I thought, the sweet rice? So he was in the sweet rice. In the bowl of sweet rice. And I don't think I had the idea. I think the lady who made the sweet rice kind of like, she was so tadatmika with that sweet rice. The lady who made it, she, you know, because she was making it with love and devotion offered to Krishna. Some Western lady with me at that time, 95, 96, I mean, long time ago. It's like Krishna's like doing some other leelas now. Hide and seek, hiding leelas, hiding and seeking leelas. With me, the leelas hide and seek. 20 years ago. Krishna, I've been counting, 1, 2, 3. You know, I counted, now you went to hide, I'm looking for you, I've been looking for 20 years. You're right in front of me, but you're not there. You're looking at me, but I can't see you. You're speaking to me, but I can't hear you. You're embracing me, but I can't feel your embrace. You're guiding me, and I know it. That I don't. So then the lady May says, Maharaj, this may sound crazy, but look in the sweet rice. I say, well, I got a spoon. And I was going to put my hand in, but you know, I thought the people, because I'm a little bit like that. So I'll get you a spoon. I said, okay. And I said, because they're like Western people. So so I got a spoon. I went fishing for Giriraj, and I pulled him out. I said, hey, Giriraj, Baba Ki. I said, Giriraj, what are you doing in the sweet rice? I mean, I said, this must be really good sweet rice. This is approved. This is 901, 9001, ISI approved, whatever. This is export quality, you know, super duper sweet rice. So needless to say that we washed the sweet rice off Giriraj and duly honored that and put him back, you know, where we thought he should be, back on his Nisingasan, to be duly seen. He was playing really hide and seek in this one. He hid under the sweet rice. Now that's a hard place to find. I would have never found, Kiraj, I would have never found you under the sweet rice. I mean, maybe I could look under the pakoras or under the pouris, but you're gonna do, you know, submarine on me? You're gonna dive inside the sweet rice? That's a little too clever. But yeah, I have to have scuba tanks and go inside the sweet rice and look for them. Right, yeah, I have to go looking for them. I gotta go under the sweet rice and goggles, you know. Kiraj, where are you? Yeah, that's a lot of effort. But that's the main thing I can say. This is Krishna consciousness, union with Krishna and separation. But this is some experiences with Giriraj. And everyone who has deities has so many stories, and there's so many stories about deities, and they're all completely true. And they're true for the devotees, and they're untrue for the non-devotees. The stories are completely true for the devotee who experiences it, and for devotees who hear about it. And for those that are not devoted, it's completely false. It makes no sense. It's illogical, nonsensical. It can't happen. It's impossible. So they remain where they are, and the devotees remain where they are. Until they die, and they go back to Godhead. And the materialists, the doubting Thomas, the agnostics, the non-devotees, they remain where they are, and they stay where they are. Samsara chakra, birth after birth after birth. The believers, they go forward. So many beautiful stories. I remember when we were doing puja in Jagannath, Balaram Subhadra, they were in San Diego being worshipped with some other deities. And there was a fire in the temple. The Singhasana was wood. Yeah, and everything burned down, but the deities didn't burn down. And Jagannath, Balaram, Subhadra are called Daru Brahman. They're deities made of wood. And they're not fireproof wood, it's regular wood. And this whole thing burned down. And they came, it was all ashes, everything. Their clothes burned. Actually, their clothes burned? Oh, confirmed. That's a Sarkari power, you know. Came on now. So their clothes burned, and they were just there. But their bodies were not charcoal or anything. Just standing there. Jagannath Swami Ki Jai. Now another story, and it's very, very, very common story wherever Radha Krishna bring worship. They have so many outfits, and they make them. And then the deities get fat. Deities have so many. So the deities, because we did puja work, when we'd hear from the pujaris, and we would see practically also, if you see pictures taken by the same photographer of deities, month after month, if there's a change in administration and there's an increase in the quality of the deity's seva, and then they start eating better, because the temple's better organized, they're earning more money, there's more consciousness for deities and putting more money over there, deities start getting puffy cheeks. You see it in the picture. It's clear. It's clear. And their outfits become too tight. It's supposed to be marble statue. Ashtadatta statue. And the same with clothes. The clothes don't shrink. They don't dry clean. They just put them on. They put them in Ziploc plastic thing, those plastic bags, you know, and put them in a closet. It's airtight closets. They don't need to go to the dry cleaner to wash this. They don't. When they get a little old, give it out as deity of prasadivation, and a new one is offered. They don't put deity office in the dry cleaner and stuff like that. It doesn't happen. So he put on the same deity, the same outfit. Hey, it doesn't close. can't close the thing. The Muslim tailor for ISKCON, Radharas Vihari Ki Jai. Sitaram Lakshman Raman Ki Jai. Shishi Gornita Ki Jai. So he's a, because this tailor, he lives over there in Juhu Beach somewhere, and he's sewing the deity's clothes. Deity's outfits, we say. And he was interviewed, and I suppose someone wrote an article, obviously he probably didn't write it, but he was interviewed in an article, he was a feature article about the deity, the king needs new clothes, or the deity's alive. Another story to make you believe it. Either you believe it, and you'll continue to believe it, and believe it more, or you'll never believe it. No matter how many stories you hear, you'll never believe. A man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. So I don't believe deities can do anything, or they grow or eat or this and that, so you tell me 1,000 stories? I still don't believe. Okay, fine. Carry on. Ciao. So the tailor is in an article in the Times of India, says, you know, I'm sewing for them in the winter, in the summer when they're wearing their clothes, when winter comes, they're too small. They're too tight because they're eating so much, you know, gulab jamuns and so much sweet rice and kachoris and puris and all that heavy stuff and samosas and rajma and all this heavy stuff. Getting fat. And the outfits I make don't fit, so I have to make new ones. Then summer comes, he loses weight. He just eating juices and salads. And it's amazing. Like one, and then one story I'll tell you because I remember it when I read it. So that this person's name was Krishna Prem Das. And he had some deities. And he was in a mode of sakya ras with his deities. He considered, he had deities of Radha and Krishna, but he related to Krishna like his younger brother. You know, playfulness, his older person. He was older. And so, and Krishna used to call him Dada. Sometimes he would hear, he would just hear in his mind. He was just feeling, Krishna's calling me Dada. And he was doing puja and dressing and cooking and artik and archan and all these things. Bandhanam and stutis and stotrams and prayers and all these utsavs and festivals and Janmashtami. So one day, it was late at night, he was sleeping and he heard Dada! Dada! I think Dada means older brother or something like that. Dada! Dada! Huh? Are? Or Bapariva? Bapariva. Bapariva. Yeah. What? Am I hearing something? Because he had, there was, like, by himself in his kutir. He heard, Dada! Dada! Someone is calling me. Dada! Dada! Sounds like it's coming from the altar. So he went to the altar. And he opened the door. And the deities looked at him and said, Dada, I'm cold. Close the window. And it was kind of like a change of season. Like now it goes between fall and winter and it's like warm days. And all of a sudden the cold, 1 o'clock, a freezing breeze comes and you don't have, when you get cold, you have to close the window. So he was like dumbfounded. The deity was speaking to me. And he said, his deity was named Gopal, Radha Gopal or whatever. You could just call him Gopal. And Radharani is also there being worshipped. And so he went and closed the window. And he looked and he said, Gopal, you can speak, you're speaking to me. And then he's looking at Gopal. And then Gopal, tears started falling from his eyes. From the deity's eyes, tears of love started trickling down his beautiful face of Gopal, this Gopal deity. Because he was so much, he wanted to confirm how much he was accepting his sakya bhav, his friendship. He treated Krishna like his friend. And he said, oh, you felt cold. And so this story is there. And then from then on, he was like so much amazed. He said, wow. Yeah, my little brother, he relates to him like my younger brother Gopal, and I'm Dada. And he calls me Dada. Because he was just thinking, oh, I think he calls me Dada. But he called me Dada. I heard him. And I saw him crying. He went like a little, like in an ecstasy. There's so many wonderful stories like this of these great, very, 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 very advanced saints. It's not that we imagine these things. Okay, I heard all these stories, so I have to go home and make up some stories and come back and tell you tomorrow. you don't make up these stories. I mean, you have, if something is real, it's real. I can't like spin all these stories and all Giraja this and Giraja that. Like some of these chapters are story after story after story. Different, because these are siddhas saints. They're just deities like their friend, and they walk with him and talk to him and everything, just as we do. We have no limitations. We're fully personal and mobile. And we speak and we act and we cry and we laugh and do everything. So Krishna does that also. Viradharanaki Jai. Now I remember once when I first came to India and I went to some of the Vrindavan temples in 1977, and I thought, compared to this kind of, I was thinking, boy, the puja standards not very good. And I went to Radharamani, he didn't have a flute, and I thought, that's a very poor temple, he doesn't even have a flute. But I didn't see any flute there.
You know, usually you see, where's my flute?
You usually see that Thakurji has a flute, you know, right? And then I said, what is this? You know, this, such an old temple, they can't even afford a flute. That was my idea. And then, because I couldn't see and I didn't know. And then, after I went to say, this kind of these temples, these old Goswami temples are really dilapidated and run down. They can't even afford, it's just a little flute, it's like 10 rupees. They can't even afford a flute. He said, what are you talking about? The flute's there, haven't you seen it? I said, no. So I went with him. So the flute is like this. There's a flute over here. Ever so? Hardly you can see it. Do you see where it is? Usually look at the face of the deity. He's like, his hands are like this. The flute was in a elbow or something like that. Crotch of the arm, whatever you call it. It's in the elbow, and it's just kind of slipping down like this. I said, oh, there is a flute. Well, why is it? It fell off, or what happened? No, it's always there. I said, why? Because Radharani stole his flute. They're worshipping Radharamana ki. This golden girl ripped it off and she won't give it back. What to do? She's threatened to break it and throw it in the Yamuna. So then I came to expand my consciousness about my darshans. That all, they're in Bhav. Bhav Seva. They're worshipping Krishna in Bhav. Krishna has a flute. When he eats, you take out the flute. When he finishes eating, you put back the flute. There's like these rules and regulations, right? So I was looking at Radhadamodar and I was thinking, oh, the condition here is not very good. In those days, it wasn't so good. And I have so many office sounds. Quite good condition. Very nice puja in Radhadamodar. I said, oh, but then I sat down and said, wait a minute. This deity has been worshipped from 1542 or something like, say 1600. And this was 1980 or so, whatever. So how many years is that? 1619. I just started to think, wait a minute, I'm seeing that puja is not so good, the outfits are kind of old, they don't have any lighting, it's not good lighting, and there's all old funky cups and things, and he has all beat up, bent, the flute is all bent, looks like he beat up Balaram with it or something. The flute was bent. I bought a new flute later. Had some money to offer the deities. And then I thought, wait a minute, these deities have been worshipped from 1600 to 19, that's 390 years. They've been offering artik 7 times a day for 390 years. Right? 365 days a year times 7. How much is that? 2600, right? 365 times 7. And 2600 times 390. 10 lakhs of artis. So then I started being like appreciation that they had so many years of puja. It's amazing. Then I started thinking, that's. So next year when I can say, well, any story, and I say, well, it's been another year of puja. It's not 390, but it's my 20th, hopefully it'll be my 21st year. That's the story. So I was thinking, this is the story of Radhadamodar. And there are 10 lakh, they've been there, their cousin, their relatives, the parampara, they've been worshipping that deity for 390 years. That's serious, no matter what kind of puja, but it's regularly going on. So some kind of puja, you know, we try to do the best puja we can every day, and that's all anyone can do. That's all any pujari or any devotee can do is day after day offer his best service, give his best to Krishna, whatever that is. This is love. And love means, I'm giving. If you give back, okay, I want to give. I love to give. And Krishna loves to give too, so it's Krishna Prema is the combination of two lovers that love to give. What is Krishna Prem? Krishna Prem is the combination of two lovers that are absorbed in absolute giving. Radharani just wants to give everything and all things and at all times and everywhere to Krishna. And Krishna just wants to give everything and all things at all times, everywhere to Radha. This is spiritual love, prem, Krishna prem. It doesn't, no calculation, no what about me and what do I get, what's my benefit, what's my percentage, what's my commission, gains and losses, nothing. Pure love, divine love. This is what devotees do. Devotees want to see everyone happy. Vishwam Purnam Sukhayate. Let the whole universe. Vishwam Purna Sukhayate. Let the whole universe be filled with happiness. This is the motto of a devotee. And happiness means Krishna consciousciousness. What does it mean, Krishna consciousness? What does it mean, love? What does it mean, bhakti? If you don't see it, you don't show it, you don't feel it. Oh, you can't do that. I can do whatever I want. I can give love anywhere. That's love has love sits, doesn't follow any rules and regulations. High, low, big, small. Oh, I'm a little kid. You're a big kid. You're a big adult. You're this, that. No one's a big anything. Everyone's a, oh, how big is the Atma? Atma's so tiny. Is the Atma, this, oh, this is a little girl, or young lady, you can say. Young lady, no. This is a young lady, she's a, her Atma's different size. Keshava, his Atma's different size. And Karan's Atma, he's a big man, so he has a big Atma. Atma, same, Jivatma. He's Jivatma, with body, Sharir. Jivatma. Krishna Jivatma, everywhere. Krishna Atma. If I'm serving this Atma, I'm serving Paramatma, I'm serving Krishna. That is the vision. If you love me, love my dog. You heard this expression, you love me, love my dog. So Prabhupada said, he said it's a simple, when you turn on the light, rather than go, if you go with a flashlight, you gotta go every corner and try to see one by one what's going on in the room, big room. You turn the one switch, the whole room's lit up. So the one switch is Krishna. If we love Krishna, then we love everyone. We love the whole world. Animals, birds, dogs, cats, kids, anybody. But that's not an easy thing to attain. At least we can try to go in that direction or try to act in that way. Like Prabhupada once said, like one devotee said, the devotee wasn't dancing in kirtan. Prabhupada says, what's wrong? And he said, I don't feel like that. I don't feel too enthusiastic. I'm tired. I eat too much feast. And I don't want to dance. He said, anyway, you don't feel... You know, you may not feel enthusiastic, that's all right. But just pretend. Just act like you're enthusiastic, pretend. So, okay, we don't love Krishna, we don't have any love for Krishna. I admit it. I'm the first to admit it. I'm first, you know, let's all be honest. But at least we can act like it. Isn't it? Hey, this is an act. But do you like it? Yeah. It's a good act. Well, maybe, you know, maybe that act may become real. There's stories about actors, they so much identify with the actor they play, they become that actor. That's a fact. Maybe you consider some mental disease or some derangement or something, but to think about Krishna's love and how kind and giving he is and how selfless he is and what to speak of Radha, who's so mystifying and enchanting and overwhelmingly attractive to the all-attractive Krishna, he has to become Radha to understand the depth of her love. The depth of her sensitivity. She's so sensitive. You know, that one of the gopis said, oh, Radharani, look, there's a jackal. He cut his ear. So Radharani said, bring the jackal to me. So they brought the jackal, and Radharani, she ripped off a piece of her chuni. Chuni? This thing over there. She ripped off a piece of her chuni, and she tied it on the ear, around the ear of the jackal to bind his cut. Wasn't a gopi, wasn't Krishna, wasn't her sister Ananga Manjari, wasn't her brother Sridham. A fire, a wild animal. This is love. Hare Krishna.